Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, October 22nd, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Phil Ressler from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Good morning, Pastor Ressler.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning. Tell us about Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Old Bridge, New Jersey.
Yeah, certainly. I like to say we are a small church with a big God. I've been at Good Shepherd for just a little over a year. I came here from Illinois, moved here. And we've got some exciting things that God has been doing here. We've got a great internet ministry. This last spring, I published a blog post on our church website that was called 40 Things to Give Up for Lent. And it went viral on the internet. We had more than 1 million people come to our church website. And so we've been sending out weekly devotions now to more than 9,000 people each week, which is something really great for a church that worships just over 100 people.
Wow.
But we've also got a comfort dog ministry that we just began here at Good Shepherd. And our comfort dog actually went up to Newtown, Connecticut. Just this last weekend, and was at Sandy Hook Elementary School on Monday. So I know our handlers just had a real special time there.
Well, so glad that you are there doing God's work in Old Bridge, New Jersey. For those who aren't familiar with the location, who don't know their New Jersey geography, where is Old Bridge located?
Certainly. We're just outside New York City, about 45 minutes from Manhattan. We considered central New Jersey, just right outside of Staten Island, New York. So,
well, very good. Glad that you are there doing God's good work and delivering His good news to the folks in Old Bridge, New Jersey. We are studying Matthew chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 12. Is there anything you'd like for us to know about this text or understand before we dig into reading Matthew 16 today?
Yeah, certainly. This really comes at the end of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. So it's one final confrontation that he has with the religious leaders there. It says here the Sadducees and the Pharisees come to him. And right after this confrontation, if you will, it says he goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And later on, this would be the beginning of his venture into Jerusalem, where ultimately he would give his life upon the cross for us. So one final confrontation, if you will.
Very good. We're going to study Matthew chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 12. And we are studying with Pastor Phil Ressler from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Old Bridge, New Jersey. And if you have questions or comments, you can on today's text, you can give us a call or an email. The phone number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into Matthew chapter 16 today. All right, verse 1. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. All right, so Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. So the Pharisees and Sadducees want to test Jesus. I could take a few guesses as to why they want to test him, but I'll let you enlighten us.
Yeah, certainly. It's interesting here because the Pharisees and Sadducees typically did not often get along with each other. But it seems here that they are united in a cause. They come together to test Jesus, to confront Jesus. And they ask Jesus for this sign out of their skepticism. We might call them scoffers. They really did not believe that Jesus was going to be able to produce this sign that they asked for. And so they weren't sincere at all in their request. And the main reason they were out to ask for a sign was to discredit Jesus, to disprove any of the claims that he had been making previously.
So they're working on trying to discredit Jesus. They try to test him. They ask him to show them a sign from heaven. When they're talking about a sign from heaven, what are they looking for? Is there something specific they're looking for?
Yeah, you know, as I read it, a sign from heaven, this would be something, you know, significant. You know, as I think about, you know, sometimes we will ask God for a sign, you know, we have moments of doubt, and we just want God to show himself, just to prove himself to us. And I would imagine, you know, a sign from heaven, you know, we've got a storm coming through here today, you know, whether it be a bolt of lightning, or, you know, he actually already did this when he calmed the storm when he was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. But you know, some miracle of nature here that they're pretty much asking for.
So they ask for a sign, some sort of miraculous sign. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." And if I recall, you know, from my childhood, I remember this rhyme that my grandmother used to say. What is it? Pink skies in morning, sailors take warning. Pink skies at night, sailors delight. If I remember correctly. So, so here, this is kind of what they're referring to. It will be fair weather, for the sky is red in the evening. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know, looking at the sky, they know how to interpret the conditions of the environment to get an idea of what the weather is going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at this text, you know, Jesus is crediting them. He's saying, you know, you guys are smart. You're perceptive. And you're able to interpret these signs in nature and understand what they mean. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you know, you're missing the point. When it comes to spiritual matters, you're not perceptive in the same way that you are perceptive towards these matters of nature.
Sure, he says, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. What are the signs of the times that he's referring to here that they're totally missing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there was John the Baptist that had come. He was the messenger, and it talked about how he was the one in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. And looking back at all the Old Testament prophecies, that they were coming to a head. They were coming to this time of fulfillment, and they... Even though they read the scriptures and they knew the scriptures, they were missing these things that were quite obvious.
An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the evil and adulterous generation back in the Old Testament, God had said that, you know, I will be your God and you will be my people. And, you know, adultery, biblically, a lot of times it was symbolic of, or adultery was symbolic of idolatry. And they would chase after other gods in the Old Testament, the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. And you know, here Jesus is referring that they are, their adultery is their focus on their own rules and their own regulations, you know, the works of the law. And what they missed was a relationship that was right before them with the Messiah that God had sent to them.
So adulterous meaning they've given up the right relationship that they could have for another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that you know, Jesus had come to bring them something better, you know, than what they had centered their lives around.
So he left them and departed. The conversation ends. He leaves them and goes on his way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was looking at this, you know, the sign of Jonah here, that he says he was, you know, there's no sign given except the sign of Jonah. And as we look at that sign of Jonah, it's referred back to in Matthew chapter 12, where he goes into a little bit more detail, where Jonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and then he comes out of God delivers him from the belly of the fish, which was essentially certain death, but God spared him, Jonah, from that. And this is a prophecy, a prediction, if you will, mm-hmm. of Jesus' coming death, but that 3 days he would be risen from the dead. And that was the sign that he is talking about. And there, he says, there's no other sign that needs to be given here to you. You know, as you think about this and you look back at what Jesus had already done throughout his whole Galilean ministry, just previously to the story, he had fed the 4,000. He had made the lame to walk. He'd cast out the demons, made the blind to see, miracle after miracle after miracle. And he had given them more than enough that they already needed to believe. And if they weren't going to believe what they'd already been given, there was nothing new that Jesus was going to be able to give them to make them believe.
Anything else? Oh, go ahead.
And so, you know, when it comes to leaving and departing, like this, you know, it was a waste of time, really, for Jesus to spend here trying to convince those who did not want to be, did not want to believe. As I said before, they were scoffers.
Looking at this, the first paragraph, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees demanding signs and Jesus' conversation with them. Anything else that you'd like for us to know before we look at the rest of the text for today?
Yeah, you know, as I look at that, you know, I think about our you know, ourselves. I said a lot of times we ask for a sign. You know, we're going through a moment of doubt. We're going through a moment of crisis, and maybe we're asking the question: Is God really there? Does He really care for me? Does He really love me? And you know, the interesting thing is that sometimes the answer that God gives us is no different than the answer that He gave the Pharisees. That no new sign is going to be given. That we've already been given signs from Him. And, you know, as Lutherans, we value sacraments, you know, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are things that you know, God tells us He loves us. We sing in the children's song, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So the Bible tells us about God's love, but it's through the sacraments in many ways that we're shown God's love. And you know, in terms of our baptism, no one can take that away from us. I ask when I'm taking parents through an orientation for having their children baptized, I ask them if they've been baptized, and the answer is yes or no. They can't say maybe. It's one or the other, and that's something that's certain in our life. You know, there are so many things that we get. We're emotional beings, and things that are left for interpretation. But that covenant, that seal of God's love and approval for us is something that cannot be taken away. And it's the same way with the Lord's Supper, where, you know, the bread and the wine in that, the body and blood, is something that is certain. There's a reason Jesus says do this often, because that in so many ways is the sign of His love for us that He gives to us. And it's different for us because we're not coming as scoffers. We come more sometimes as seekers. We come sometimes maybe skeptical based upon, you know, circumstances in our lives, but there's that faith that we reach out to Him, and he provides for us.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Phil Ressler from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Old Bridge, New Jersey. We're in Matthew chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 12. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the daily New Testament reading. We'll press on to the second half of the text today in verses 5 and following. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, trial lawyer and apologist Craig Parton inviting you to listen to Cross Defense the first Monday of every month to what we're calling Apologetics Boot Camp 101. You'll hear me pose hard-hitting questions to the foremost living defender of the Christian faith, John Warwick Montgomery, on such issues as God's existence, the problem of evil, and more. You'll also be able to participate with your questions and comments. Join us on Cross Defense the first Monday of every month, Apologetics Boot Camp 101.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
This is a test.
of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Phil Ressler from Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Old Bridge, New Jersey. We're in Matthew chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 12. If you have questions or comments about the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. We're in Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12 is what we're going to take a look at now. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right, so the disciples reached the other side and forgotten to bring any bread. They got there and realized, oh, nobody brought any bread. We can't have any no toast, no sandwiches, nothing to munch on.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that this is not the first time this has happened. Jesus had to feed the 5,000. He had to feed the 4,000 previously, because the disciples didn't even, in those two times, didn't even have enough for themselves. So it's one of those things that they, just like us, we keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, if Jesus said that to me, I'm probably one of those people that might take him more literally. Why would Pharisees and Sadducees bring along leaven? Why would they bring along yeast?
Yeah, certainly. This quickly drew their attention to the bread, and they realized they had forgotten the bread at this point in time when Jesus speaks of this. Jesus often, he spoke in parables, and there's more to meets the eye in terms of what Jesus often says. And as we think about the leaven, it doesn't take much leaven, as Jesus will say, to affect the whole loaf. And it's just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit, a taste of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what they were about and what they were promoting, that would pollute, if you will, pollute the whole bunch. So to be careful, just when it comes to the things of our culture that we see around us, the things that are often ungodly, and sometimes we try to get as close as we can. We've got God's word and his law and his commands, and we try to get as close to that and see what we can get away with and strive for that, as opposed to living in obedience.
And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? Do you not remember the 7 loaves for the 4,000? They start talking among themselves and realize they have no bread, as we pointed out. But Jesus says, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread?"
Yeah, and how quickly we forget. I go back to the Old Testament, and I think of in the book of Exodus, where you have the children of Israel. God brings them out of their slavery in the Old Testament, out of Egypt, and the miracles that were associated with that, the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians. There was the crossing of the Red Sea. There was the feeding with manna in the desert, and over and over and over, God provides for them miraculously. And yet, when it comes to the spies being sent into the promised land, and they come back, they doubt. And the same way here with the disciples, that you know, Jesus had done all of these things that we've talked about earlier, where he had fed the 4,000, the 5,000, he had made the lame to walk, he had made the blind to see, and the disciples were there. They had seen these, all of these things that Jesus had done, yet here in this moment there is doubt that enters in. And we're no different. That, you know, we are human. We have our shortcomings, and, you know, no matter the amount of faith, you know, I sometimes, you know, tell my church that faith and doubt aren't necessarily exclusive of one another. That, you know, doubt and faith often exist at the same time within us. But what faith often is the courage to act, the courage to believe in spite of our doubts.
Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Do you not understand? Do you not perceive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, again, Jesus is, you know, echoing the sentiment and just reminding them of what he had already done for them. As we think about prayer, you know, the idea of keeping a prayer journal, and, you know, the importance of remembering, you know, what God has done for us. And there's something about taking a pen and paper, or maybe, you know, putting it on the computer with a keyboard, that when we write those things down and we go back to them, we can remember God's past faithfulness. That, and remembering God's past faithfulness, you know, gives us confidence in his presence and his ability to provide, you know, here now in our present, and even into the future. And again, you know, going back to the Lord's Supper, where Jesus is saying, do this often in remembrance of me. Why, what's the importance of remembering? You know, that's that past faithfulness, you know, remember God's past faithfulness to give us that confidence and that hope in the present, in the future. You know, it says, you know, in the book of Psalms that God is the same, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, you know, God doesn't change. And so God's going to be, as he was faithful in the past, so he also is going to be faithful today.
And so he talks about, do you not, you know, remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? He provided for them, just as you pointed out, in the Lord's Supper, he provides for us. How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. It's I'm not talking about bread here. How did you not see that? Beware of the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yeah, you know, the challenge with many things in life is to look with spiritual eyes. That, you know, we're sometimes guilty of living in silos. You know, we have our church life, you know, Sunday morning, we have our work life, we have, you know, family life, we have, you know, maybe recreation or entertainment, and we have all these different compartments that we put different aspects of our life into. But with all of that, you know, God doesn't want to be just one part of our life. He wants to be part of it all. And there's more, you know, in every decision that we make in many ways is a spiritual choice that we have. And, you know, so when Jesus here is talking about the bread or the leaven that he's talking about, there's more to it than just, you know, the physical bread. There's spiritual truths that are involved with that when he's talking about, you know, throughout the Gospel of John, for example, he talks about, you know, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And there's always, with everything that Jesus says, there's a deeper and fuller meaning. And we would ask that God would give us, you know, that he would open the eyes of our hearts to be able to discover those deeper spiritual truths that he wants to impart to us.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, looking at this text, especially the leaven that he talks about, the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees, is there anything else you'd like for us to know as we look at the text as a whole, verses 1 through 12?
Yeah, just, you know, as we look at this this entire text, you know, I go back to, you know, three different categories. You know, there's scoffers out there, there's skeptics out there, and there are seekers out there. And, you know, we fall all in one of those three areas. You know, we're out to discredit or disprove. We're so convinced in our unbelief that we want to discredit or disprove that Jesus is the Christ, that, you know, as the Pharisees and Sadducees were out to do. Then there are skeptics, you know, people, you know, those of us maybe are sure that we have serious doubt that we wrestle with. And there are those of us who are, I would say, seekers, who we want to believe, and we're asking Jesus, Lord, help us in our unbelief. And I kind of categorize the disciples in the category of the seekers. They wanted to believe, but yet they were wrestling with this doubt that was within them. And, you know, the good news in all of this is that, you know, God gives us, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a matter of us to muster enough faith. You know, faith doesn't come from our, you know, we can't produce our own faith. You know, it's not something that we can muster by our own strength, but it is a gift that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, my prayer as I think about this text is, Lord, help me to see the signs that you have given. Lord, help me to believe in spite of my unbelief.
Amen. We do have an email question coming from Eric. In verse 9, Jesus points to his miracles of the loaves. Is it a good tactic to use his miracles when doing apologetics? Going back to verse 9, he talks about, you know, he references the 5 loaves for 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered. Is it good to use his miracles when doing apologetics, he says?
Yeah. Well, you know, each case is different. I would say, by and large, you know, that miracles are something that, as you think of the testimony of the miracles, that those are something that are, you know, the testimonies are something that are received by faith. And yet, when we do look at the miracles of Jesus, you know, we take, for example, the resurrection. You know, this is the greatest miracle of them all. And the idea that you have 12, you know, men who follow Jesus, 11 of which would give their lives, if that had been a lie, if that had been something that was made up, I highly doubt that, you know, 11 men and John, who you know, died, did not suffer martyrdom, but nevertheless was persecuted by the faith. I highly doubt that they would have given their lives for a lie. So the miracle themselves, I don't know if are good for apologetics, but the circumstances that surround the miracles and how people respond to the miracles, I think are a good thing for apologetics.
Well, very good. Well, Pastor, I have enjoyed studying this text with you, and we'll be on the lookout for the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. And I appreciate the opportunity to study God's word with you as we wrap up our time together. Any final thoughts that you want to share with us before we go?
I'm good, so I appreciate this opportunity. It's been a blessing for me.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. God bless you and all the saints at Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Old Bridge, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got Witness Wednesday with Pastor Mark Wood from the Office of National Mission, Witness and Outreach. And so we'll get to that at about 8:45. Hope you can join us for that here in a few minutes. Stick around for more of his time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.